Welcome back once again to the Quality Time Podcast. I'm your host, Eric Woodworth, and oh boy, the boys are back in town once again. We're joined by comedian Daniel Crabb as he sits in. We go over the second half of this beautiful film. There's a fun story about how I ruined some lady's night. Jeremy gets naked in a ball pit, and we also hear about how Jeremy got to meet John Lovitz. Now, if I could ask you to please leave us a 5-star rating, if you can find it in your heart to do so, we would greatly appreciate it. It costs you nothing and means the world to us. So without further ado, get strapped in, turn the volume up to 11, and get ready for the second part of The Hitcher.
Hello, kiddies. It's your old pal, the Crypt Keeper. This is a big shout out to my friends at Quality Time Podcast.
For the first time ever, I saw the new Elton John movie, Rocket Man. Well, get this. I'm watching Rocket Man, and maybe some of you guys don't know about this. Elton John's gay. I had no idea. I was like, what in the...
Since when?
Jaw-dropping. You're telling me the song The Bitch Is Back is made by a homosexual man? A homosexual man made that song. Really?
I hate to say, if you put, like... either one or two of my most disliked actors in a movie, like, say, for instance, the one with Liberace.
Yeah.
If you put Matt Damon in a really gay part, I will watch that movie just to see him have gay sex.
Yeah,
really makes my movie experience.
Hell yeah.
Oh, we tried.
No, I liked Rocket Man. Rocket Man is really, yeah, actually really trippy. It's a really trippy movie. Like, well, they don't. It's not like, hey, this is how we wrote the song, and this is us recording the song, and this is that. It's like more like, oh, here's this party that Elton John's at, and when his friend walks off with this other girl, then that he's kind of into but isn't into him, he writes the song Tiny Dancer, and they just start singing it in that weird.
Cool.
There's a lot of really trippy parts in it. It's pretty
See, like
cool.
My dad was like a big Elton John fan. Because his name's also Daniel, so because of the song, and we were gonna like try and take him to go see it like on Father's Day or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
but like,
gosh.
I think the whole a lot of gay sex in the movie kind of like he was a little apprehensive to see it.
Unlike,
and it's also a musical, and like my dad really doesn't like musicals, so I don't know.
Hence you were born.
I think the, unlike, I don't know if you've ever seen Behind the Candelabra, it's like...
I've heard a lot about it.
Dude,
never seen it.
I tried to power through it, but after like the fifth really rough gay sex scene, I was like, all right, I don't know if I can finish this movie. I will say, at least as far as Rocket Man goes, there's only one gay sex scene which I powered through, which is perfect, because that's how long it takes for me to jerk off. And then, and then after that, there's no more like really homoerotic stuff that happens other than just Elton John being his regular flamboyant self. Should I welcome everybody back to Quality Time? Welcome back to Quality Time, everyone.
And, let's just talk about the song Rocket Man, you know, otherwise known as one of William Shatner's greatest hits.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, you're either Team Shatner or you're Team John, and we're a Team Shatner family.
And, I didn't understand it. The song makes no sense unless it's in the context of Elton John. Is that, you know, some men are in this world are gay, but no, some men are Rocket Man gay. They're way out there like a rocket.
Turbo gay now.
You know, like, I know I'm gay, but I still might try out women someday. Mm-hmm. No way! I'm a rocket man! Whoa!
Well, hey, listen.
I am flaming on fire!
Listen, there's some people that are gay, and then, like, it's like I was always a Pepsi guy, okay? Pepsi my whole life. There was a time where I was just like, ooh, Pepsi Clear, that looks pretty good. I tried it, and it wasn't for me. And it's like that, except the Pepsi Clear is a penis that goes into your ass. That's really the only difference between it. It's Coke or Pepsi, guys. It's not a big deal. Like Welcome back to Quality Time. We're joined. My name is Eric P. Woodworth, and I'm joined by my our special guest this week, once again, Daniel Crabb. Daniel, welcome back again to the show. You drove back a whole week. It's not like we just stopped the show for a couple of seconds and then released it an entire week later.
A lot of gas mileage.
Nuts.
A lot of, yeah. Am I getting reimbursed for that? Or
yeah, what you need to go is
up tax
to,
time. Is it for need, the taxes? Like,
yeah,
I throw
go up
my
to
taxes.
Reception and reception. Talk to them. That it's actually in your own car. You start and then reception talks to you from there.
Okay,
you have to go 55 miles per hour, and then they'll start giving you feedback.
If you see his daughter Susie, she'll pay you in like 4 or 5 rocks that she finds in the yard.
Yes,
sweet.
Yes.
Cool.
And she
all
thinks
right.
that they're worth money. They aren't worth anything.
Yeah, because kids are fucking morons, let me tell you.
And she might spit on them as like, that's her change.
And that other ominous voice you hear is none other than my blood and my brother, Mr. Jeremy P. Woodworth. Jeremy, how are you, sir?
Hey, how you doing? I don't have a guest voice tonight.
Oh, that's we're not going Udo Kier, huh? You're Udo Kierless.
Well, I'm just tired.
Hey, what if
I'm barely going to make it through this episode.
Hey, Jeremy, can I challenge you with a song? It was like, you know the song not Boy George, but George Michael. You know George Michael.
Oh, yeah, with that sexy sax song.
That song, Careless Whisper. Yeah. What about Udo Kierless Whisper? Okay? I'm going to put that idea in your head. I want to see what comes out.
Udo Kierless Whisper.
I never want to eat the gallbladder again. The salty rhythms got green weed on.
Two women must be very powerful.
There we go.
You would never be a true vampire.
Yes! There we go. We're actually an Udo Kier based podcast.
Have you guys done Blade
now.
Yet?
We've never done Blade. We could go Blade. I get Blade or Blade 2 or Blade Trinity. I'm up to
Blade
all
Trinity's
three.
Ridiculous.
I love me a Blade. I love all of the Blade movies.
Wesley Snipes killed it.
Honestly,
I'm excited for Mahershala Ali though. I want to see what he does.
I think it'll be dope because it's going to be in the Marvel universe. They have yet to fail me yet over the last decade. So yeah. I'm into whatever they're going to do. The thing is that Blade is almost a perfect trilogy. If you ask me, I mean, name a trilogy that's stronger than Blade, and I'll shoot it down. Lord of the Rings? No, if you think Return of the King is a good movie, it's fucking 2 hours too long. Okay, Blade Trinity, perfect trilogy. Okay, you get your comedy, you get your action. Maybe the story isn't as great. Okay, I could see that, but perfect movies.
You have a Chihuahua with split face. Mandibles or whatever the fuck it is.
Oh, yeah. I dig them. I like all of it. Everything that happens in it. So, but it's good to have you back this week again, Mr. Crabb. I'm feeling nice. Feeling wet. I'm feeling moist.
I have that effect on people.
Did I tell you about this story, Jeremy? So, rewind a couple weeks ago, back to I was supposed to be hosting for John Lovitz. I didn't host for John Lovitz. I got cut from the John Lovitz show.
And you were supposed to pick him up from the airport.
I was supposed to pick him up from the airport.
Wow. Or the hotel, maybe.
From the hotel and
bring
him to the
thing. You're terrible.
Yes. And I was like, no, thank you. I'm in show business. So, I then instead got to do the voice of God for Magoobies, which is just do the announcements before the show. It's useless. There's no jokes. There's no anything.
You did a great job hosting the comedy competition, though.
I did.
A friend of mine, Ashley Pontius, a very funny comedian.
I like Ashley. Yeah, she's really cool,
she
man.
She got third, and I'll leave it at that. I can say some other stuff.
She
but
was
the
not
other person,
happy.
Actually, I did see the one person there at the Oticon yesterday.
Oh, Josie Marcellino, right?
Yeah.
She was dressed as a Pokemon.
Yeah, she was dressed up as a executor.
Yeah.
Yeah, big old tits.
She has a very, very large rack. Maybe a future guest on the show. And Ashley, too. I like both of them very much. Yeah. But the guy who won, I felt like he deserved it. He had a very good solid set.
So,
Earlier in that night, Daniel, I was in the Wits End Saloon, and all of a sudden I saw a phone that was just sitting on the bar, and it started to ring. And me, I'm into adventure. I like to find things out. I just pick up this random phone and hit on. It says something like Terry, and then the word no, like Terry no. I was like, okay, let's answer. Hey, what's going on, Terry? Hey, what's going? Yeah, He was like, who's this? And I was like, it's Eric. I just, you know, I found this phone on the bar, and we're just having fun. He's like, oh my God, I'm looking for Karen. And I was just like, Karen, where are you? And so I started yelling for Karen. And then the bartender points out, he's like, oh, she's outside, sitting out in the outside, having a cigarette. So I walk out there with the phone. I hand her to her. I was like, hey, here's Terry. No, I answered the phone. She's like, you what? I was like, it's Terry. He's on the phone for you. You want to talk to him? Blah, blah, blah. And not thinking about it, the name was Terry No, as in, like, probably don't answer this. Terry No, don't answer. This is Terry. Don't answer this fucking phone. I hand it to her. She's like, no, that's fine. That's really funny. And then I hand her the phone and I walk away, thinking that maybe I did a bad thing at this point, right? Well, I disappear. I go back to go do some of the new talent competition. I come back. 45 minutes after I handed her this phone, she's still in the exact same spot outside, stuck on the fucking phone. And I was just like, are you still talking to that guy? She's like, and she gives me this look like, yes, I'm still on the fucking phone with him. Thank you for handing me this fucking phone. And I went, I started like clapping like this. I was like, you're doing a good job. Really great. So I ruined some girl's night by being adventurous and fun.
She could have just hung up the phone, though.
Like, she could have. That's on her. Listen, her talking to him for 45 minutes, that's on her. That's not on me, right? That, I was having fun answering calls, okay? You, A, you left your phone at the table. B, I picked it up and I was having fun. C, you can hang up the phone. You're an adult, okay?
Be more responsible. Or set boundaries with this person. I don't know. Figure your shit out.
So I fucked this lady's night up, though. That was pretty fun.
I was very happy to meet John Levitz. I waited forever for him to be done for the end of the night.
And I don't think we talked about this, Jeremy. I was supposed to host for John Levitz and even pick him up. And then I got you on the guest list. And even though I wasn't on the show, you still went to the show to go see John Levitz when I wasn't there.
Hell yeah.
You still abused the power of the free ticket.
Otherwise, I could never afford it. I've been out of work for six weeks now, and it's a living hell.
How did you like John Lovitz? Was he a good live act?
Oh my gosh, it was a lot politically incorrect that I thought he'd be.
Mm-hmm.
His jokes about Bernie is like, it's like, why are we ever gonna trust Bernie, a Jew that doesn't know numbers? I was like, that is amazing. So
his whole closer is Bob Saget is gay. He does a song called Bob Saget is gay.
He's very good on the piano. So
yeah, he's good. He's got skills.
At a piano,
unlike Elton John, who sucks on the organ.
Well, did you know this story that years ago Joe Robinson hosted for John Lovitz, and his piano that he has, his electric piano, Joe Robinson tripped over and unplugged it. So when he got to that point in the set, he couldn't play the piano, and he was like, "You unplugged my piano, Joe Robinson." And basically, he hates Joe Robinson.
So
I thought about
like a super villain.
Yeah, so he's me. Apparently, I mean, it's on a past Robin Joe show episode. I'm sure I'm ad-libbing it horribly and incorrectly, and Joe will be sure to correct us on this. But I sent Joe and Robin Joe a message that said, just unplugged John Lovitz's piano, with a little post-it note that says, with love from Joe Robinson. And then, no, I didn't really do that. But it would have been good. I felt like, wasn't going to get fired from the show that I wasn't on?
I wanted to make sure that I knew a little bit more about John Levitz, so I looked up his IMDb before I went to the show. It said that back in the day, he worked at a Renfest, and it said he almost got fired because working at the Renfest, he would say, "I'm the town Jew."
Bring out your coins.
Which I thought was hilarious. You know, I can see him doing it. He's so good at any spiel he does.
That's the difference between he and I, because for the same reason, I got fired from Chuck E. Cheese's for doing that exact thing.
I'm the town Jew
here at Chuck E. Cheese's.
It's so wrong when you're not Jewish.
Yeah, well, like, when you're not Jewish, it's like,
Eric,
strong.
There's no town motif in this thing. There's a band playing. That's about it.
Why are you dressed like a Star Trek away team right now? It makes no sense.
I always get kicked out of Chuck E. Cheese for pretending to be the naked guy in the ball pool. So.
Yeah, pretending.
You just pretend to be a ball in the pool.
Mommy, this scaly man is hiding in the ball pit. You bastard, get away from my children. You're like, no, I'm pretending.
It's trying to find the scaly balls. So.
I'm the Loch Ness Monster. This is the thing your children will fear for the rest of their lives. Put some pants on, you jerk! That's good, man. That's a good bit. I like that.
Naked guy in the ball pool.
Naked guy in the ball pit. Watch. See Jeremy this month. He'll be at the DZ Discovery Zone coming up. And
once he gets out of jail, he'll be at another kid's place where he shouldn't be.
Coming to a Burger King near you. So boys, are we ready to get into tonight's topic? Are we ready to revisit the crazy world?
Can we play that song that I wrote for this this episode for this movie?
Oh, I do want to hear this.
You know what, Jeremy? This is just for you. Actually, it's not. You know what? I really like this song. Jeremy made this little track here. We'll use it as our intro for tonight instead of the standard Hitcher Part 2 intro.
Give me a pair of poopy pants, give me a pair of poopy pants, give me a pair of poopy pants, give me a pair. Give me a pair of poopy pants, give me a pair of poopy pants, give me a pair of poopy pants, poopy pants. Poopy pants, poopy pants, poopy pants, poopy pants, give me pants, poopy pants, poopy pants. Poopy pants, poopy pants, poo poo, poopy pants, poo poo, poopy poopy pants. Give me a pair of poopy pants, give me a pair of poopy pants, give me a pair of poopy pants, poopy pants. Give me a pair.
And that's the end. That's the end of the song.
That's great.
That was Poopy Pants, man.
I actually have a bit
good.
About pooping my pants as a child.
This song.
I'm going to think about this song every time I do this bit. I do that bit.
If I never get to tell this story, this song is literally 40-something years old, even though it was made like a month ago. My cousin, my older cousin, who is probably
R.I.P. Joshua Barlow,
maybe
right?
6 years my elder, maybe 5 years my elder now. He had a recording back in 1978 of him and his brother alone in a bedroom, and he's like, hey, Jared, why don't you give me a pair of those poopy pants? And of course, unbeknownst to Jared, he just starts doing that song. Get me a pair of poopy pants, get me a pair of poopy pants. Which, of course,
poopy pants.
Which was so endearing. And I don't know if that cassette ever lives, but that song is at least 40 years old now. So
I like it. And you're bringing it onto another generation that really needed it.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's the important part, you know? Yeah.
But it really encapsulates a song about poopy pants.
You know, if you ever meet when Jared's son comes of age, I would like it if you could get a vinyl pressing of it. And like your father would have wanted you to have this
on a brown record,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, get it a brown piece vinyl. Of vinyl. Like, give me a pair of poopy pants. Give me that'll be this is your legacy, son. This is what you got to live up to for the rest of your life. Jenny, you ever gonna make a song like Poopy Pants? I don't think so.
Jenny, I know your father was a songwriter, and he wrote a lot of songs, but I think this one means more than any other. Give me a pair. What the hell's wrong with you? Why?
They didn't need this insight about my dad. Oh, hell yeah, dude. That's some good shit. That is some good shit right there.
Pretty much the moment when Obi-Wan gave that lightsaber to Luke. So,
hell yeah.
Same thing. Poopy pants and lightsabers. Yeah.
So, where we left off last time, the Hitcher, he picks him up. He's a psychopathic murderer played by Rutger Hauer. We have Thomas C. Howell, our hero of the movie, the guy from Soul Man.
C. Thomas Howell. You've been saying Thomas C. Howell.
Have I been saying it all night? God damn it.
Like all
Joe Robinson's like, going fucking nuts with the corrections. God.
Saying it wrong.
And the thing
time.
Is, he's only going to hear last episode, so we're going to have a whole rack of them up until this point. It's going to be like backed up. God. The shit I've gotten myself into.
Have we ever
C.
found
Thomas
out what
Howell.
His name actually stands for? Is it like C.
Cunt
Sanford.
Thomas Howell.
Cecil? Cecil?
Cock Thomas Howell.
Cock, yeah.
My name is Cockney Thomas Howell. I'm actually Cockney. British.
How y'all doing? You want to see the outsiders?
What the fuck you
want to do? Me and Rob Lowe.
Yeah, I'm a great actor.
We in the back of a truck all night. Yeah.
You even know I'm fucking British.
Me, Tom Cruise, and the boys. We're outside of things. Outside of a burger joint. Outside of a gas station. You know, we outside of things. Cockney Thomas out here.
So we've seen the absolutely maniacal Rutger Hauer as the Hitcher. He's already murdered a family in a station wagon. He's almost run over C. Thomas Howell, a.k.a. Jim, in this film.
I don't even see him as that maniacal. He just likes having a good time.
Yeah, I just like to party. You know what I'm talking about?
Well, I think
about,
like, after he threw him out of the car, he was like, ooh, game on. All right. I like to play.
All the other guys got murdered
let's go
so
to round
easy.
Two.
All these guys, like, told him he wanted to die right off the bat. He was like, no. It's like, mm-hmm. Ooh, a challenge.
You know,
wait a minute. He just didn't say the I die words. Okay,
you know, if we learn anything from serial killers from movies, which are very, very factual, is that, you know, sometimes a serial killer just wants like a buddy, you know?
Yeah.
But he has to work him into being a serial killer. It's like, you know what MO is? Tell me, Henry. What did you say? You know, it's like, well, sometimes you use a gun, sometimes you use a knife, sometimes you strangle. So,
makes sense.
Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer, one of the funniest serial killer movies ever
made.
I hear very funny things about it because of Tom Segura's podcast. He mentions it every once in a while.
Yeah. Michael Rooker, that was the movie that put him on the map. So,
yeah, dude, it's basically the Spaceballs of serial killer movies. It's very strong.
I gotta check that one out.
Oh, by the way, you mentioned Spaceballs. Guess who's coming to Chiller?
Who's that? Mel Brooks.
That's right. Tony Cox, the Black Midget.
Tony Cox.
He's still alive?
Yes.
Awesome.
Isn't it? Tony Cox is the, he's also the from Bad Santa, one of my favorite films of all time.
And Me, Myself, and Irene.
And I looked him up on IMDb. It turns out.
Is he one of the Ewoks?
Yes, he was one of the Ewoks, one of his first. Right. Although I think his first real part was on Buck Rogers when they had like seven midgets on the show.
It's a shame, other than Tweaky. It's a shame that he never got the part of to play the leprechaun. I really would have liked to see him as the leprechaun.
Especially for Back in the
Hood.
Or
at least could have been on Leprechaun in the Hood.
Yeah. Leprechaun. Yeah. You know? What's up, motherfucker? I'm Irish.
the black leprechauns. And I don't even care for gold. I'll go for a little silver or copper every once in a while.
I like it because what he would do as the black leprechaun is just talk about how the Irish were also slaves in America. That would be his big... He was just like, yeah, the Irish, we were slaves too, see? Like that.
All black and I'm proud.
Yeah, the Irish were slaves like black people in that as long as they didn't talk, they were basically white people. But if they talked, like, oh, God, nope. Take O'Brien off to...
Take him off.
Off to the fields.
off to the fields. And he's like, man, this is how the Leprechaun Black movie started. This is it. That'd be the whole premise of it. So, where we left off, C. Thomas Howell just escaped a fiery death. And next we meet our next character of the film, which is Jennifer Jason Leigh, who's playing Nash, which is a very manly name
but
for
not,
a very
also,
sexy
not Marvin
woman.
Nash.
Yeah.
Jennifer Jason Leigh has not aged really at all.
No, she looks exactly
like
the same
Tom
as in The Hateful
Eight. Like,
her and
Tom Cruise got into something, and they're... Yeah.
Yeah. They suck the souls out of their partners. That's
I guess
why.
So.
Have you seen Nicole Kidman? Not looking great. Looks like an old lady.
Have you seen C. Thomas Howell recently?
Yeah. He looks like a fucking white ape. He's fucking all the color
and
sucked out of him.
He's younger than Jennifer Jason Leigh.
Makes no sense at all.
It's fucking wild.
God. She's taking care of herself.
So, We meet Jennifer Jason Leigh. She's working at the diner when a manic Jim comes up to beg to use the phone inside. She reluctantly lets him in. He calls the cops, then goes to clean himself up in the bathroom. She fries up a burger while this is all
for
going
breakfast?
Down. Yeah, a burger for breakfast. It seems legit.
Yeah.
That's what I want. And she tells him that it's going to be a while before the cops get there. They're in the middle of nowhere. And that's, while she's talking to him, she drops this little...
My brother Bill is from Mars. Actually, we're all from Mars around here. We keep our spaceship out back. So, what planet are you from?
What?
What ain't no country I ever heard of? They speak English in what?
Yeah, I heard a word I said, have you?
You are so out of it because all these murders you done seen.
God. By the way, speaking of the... I know I just made a Quentin Tarantino reference in the middle of this. I can't help but laugh hysterically every time she gets punched in the face in The Hateful Eight. Like, every single time she's like, shut up, you goddamn woman. Like that. They just,
she's just covered in blood by the end of the movie.
She gets beaten out of her the entire film, and I laugh every single time.
The beginning of the film, you're like, man, that's uncalled for. Towards the end of the film, like, Oh, yeah.
She needed to get the shit kicked out of her every fucking time.
It's like, hey, what has she done really that bad? And it's like, by the end of the movie, you're like, oh, yeah.
I get why that. I get why they punched her in the face a lot. Amazing actress. She leaves the room, and as he's eating his bed of fries, he picks up a severed finger and almost sticks it in his own fucking mouth.
Finger fries.
Jim,
now, I want to know how the severed finger got there and why she didn't notice putting the severed finger in there.
Because she dropped it off and then went in the back.
They set it up where she sets it out like it's a food, and then she walks away, and then he comes out, and then she sets it down.
Okay.
She's not really paying attention to what was mixed in with the fry. There was a scene where it could have got.
See, I'm pretty sure that he's a demon. He's not. And where did the finger come from?
Exactly. Like,
it's one of those families that he butchered back. At the fucking place.
So he's carrying fingers
around.
Or
from the Volkswagen guy.
Yeah.
He has a special necklace where you can just pull one off and pick people's fries.
He has a finger Pez dispenser. It's like the size of like 5 inches long, and it's just a giant head that just, ooh, put another digit just so I can put in people's fries and freak them out.
And he also
holds 10 at a time.
And he also comes with a pepper dispenser that's full of human skin that he can put on people's food. You want some human skin on
Ooh, I was about to some beard shavings. Crunch, 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 crunch.
Throw an ear in your pork rinds, you know. Yeah.
So Jim freaked out that he almost ate a lady finger, a chicken finger, comes out, and nobody, guess who's waiting out there for him?
The police.
What you gonna do when Thomas D. Howe comes for you? Tell me what you gonna do? What you gonna do?
I just love this Ravens theme.
Rugger Howard.
What you gonna do?
What you gonna do when he spikes your food?
Bad boys.
So
when the bug zaps you.
So Rutger Howe, he comes out, and the cops have their guns drawn at young Jimmy, and he tries to plead with them, but it's no use.
Stand where you are! Put your
stop vomiting!
You stop puking right now! You're freaking me out! I feel like I'm in danger!
Keep vomiting in your mouth!
He's in there! Get your ass on the cement or we open fire! I'm not going to tell you again!
I like it because this is a Texas in the 80s. They're like, we'll fire warning shots constantly as many times as we need to. We're in the goddamn desert. I don't give a shit.
Only because you're white.
Yeah.
You get a warning shot.
Sir, you're treating me like a common black man out here.
Well, if that was the case, he would have already been killed.
Yes. So this is...
Well, this black guy's puking outside of a restaurant.
Hey, that black guy's throwing up. Open fire! Oh, man.
Do you have
I love
a lot of
police.
Listeners in Texas?
Yeah, I think so.
Not anymore, maybe. I don't know.
Well,
we're way too liberal for Texas.
Yeah, I do.
You know?
So, he runs outside. The two cops are there. They search him and find the hitcher's bloody knife within his pocket, and they haul him off to jail. But Nash The pretty young lady Nash does suspect something is fishy. So the police
she really
question
just wants
our
the
hero.
D.
Where's your driver's license, your ID? Where are your credit cards?
The guy I've been telling you about took my wallet and he planted the knife. My license was in my wallet. I don't have any credit cards.
Those of you that took your vehicle registration, too. It's a young kid like you driving such a fancy car. You steal it?
The car doesn't belong to me. It's a drive-away. I'm supposed to be delivering it to California. The guy's in San Diego.
Jeremy, do you remember the term drive-away? Was this a business practice?
I think they totally just made this
yeah,
up.
Yeah, well, I was like, what? Because in the first part of the thing when he's telling him, when he's telling Rucker about the car and everything, mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, so this is like Toro, like a future thing of Toro. Like, yo, I just rent somebody's car and then I can drive it wherever.
Nobody can drive somebody else's car. That's just crazy.
It's like, why don't you just put it on like a fucking tractor trailer or whatever and then drive it across country because that stuff does exist.
I also don't know why that part, why this even matters, like this made up thing.
It didn't need to be in the movie at all.
Like, this doesn't affect the movie at all.
He could have just been driving across country for whatever reason.
Yeah,
he should have just said he was going somewhere to buy some drugs, you know.
Yeah, that makes more sense. He was like, hey, did you pick up a serial killer? No, I was just buying drugs, man. I was just buying drugs. You know that.
I'm going cross country.
I'm young.
I'm going cross country to get some good hash. And I'm the other thing that really amazes me in this scene is how they totally stole this from the episode of Get a Life where Chris Elliott loses his wallet. So, and gets called Wallet Boy. And then gets set up for murder.
What's his name?
I don't remember. But I know the number to the drive-away company. Why don't you call them?
Well, hell, son, you better start calling somebody, because you're in deep shit.
And notice they don't use
312-399-2090.
Yeah, these are real numbers. Yeah.
Have you tried calling that actual number? Like, see who picks up?
Well, there's no more. There's area codes. This was only a 7-digit.
No, he gave an area code.
Now what are we gonna do?
I thought he did.
I just want to call this number to have the person say, "Did you just watch the fucking Hitcher?
God damn it! Once a week.
3992. It's 312-399-2090.
Oh, that is a full number.
Yeah.
It's 312-399-2090.
I'm not gonna call it, but if a listener does call it, I want to know and record it.
Put a shout out to your listeners and the next number too, his brother's number.
Mm-hmm. It's the director's actual number. Yeah. Everyone that calls me learns the secrets of the Hitcher.
Call my brother.
Is this Bob Harmon? I gotta talk to you about some stuff.
It's 312-905.
So he calls his brother after the fake business that he calls.
Thank you for calling this number. You will now be charged $5 for trying this Hollywood movie number.
Hey, welcome to the Rutger Hauer Hotline. That's where you get to hear the finest movie quotes from actor from Blade Runner, Rutger Hauer. So,
Tears in the press
rain.
Number one if you want to hear this thing from Omega Doom. Press two if you want to hear these quotes from Blind Fury.
Press three for Sin City. That's the only one.
Press four if you want to hear this scene from Hauer Power.
So. Plus five if you would like a lock of Rutger Hauer's hair from on the set of Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Oh, that's right.
I'll chop you in half like rotted fruit.
Paul Reubens' death in that movie is fucking hilarious.
It is good. It's a classic.
Did you see the reunite with all the other vampires? With Paul Reubens, and they call upon the other names, like, do we have a Tom and a Brad here? No, they haven't showed up. So. But they do have Blade come on the TV Skype. So.
Hell yeah. So he calls his brother. His brother also doesn't answer. He's in deep doo-doo. But the cops do mention that, hey, I don't think that this kid did it.
Did you say deep doo-doo?
Deep doo-doo.
Deep doo-doo, man.
You're a deep shit boy.
But the cops still don't think that he did it. He just seems like too nice of a kid. You
know? They're like any fool can see he's not the killer.
Anybody can see that kid ain't
nobody. He's obviously a pussy faggot.
Oh, no.
Put him in with Bubba and let him get raped.
So surrounded by the cold, lonely walls of the jail cells, Jim lays down and rests and has nightmares of the man who's been terrorizing him and ruining his life. He awakens from his nightmare to find himself in a much worse situation than when he started. His jail cell is open, and there's a phone ringing down the hallway. He goes out in typical white guy fashion to go investigate.
Hello?
And as he...
Anybody there?
He finds the German Shepherd, the police
and
dog,
and you realize
there
just at that moment that Rutger Hauer is also a German Shepherd. That yes. is the thing.
So... So he finds the dog basically just eating at the neck of one of the police officers who's been brutally murdered.
That's when he runs into Wilford Brimley, who explains that's not dog.
Yeah.
So, that's not dog.
What I don't understand is you see Rutger Hauer do all this badass stuff. You never actually, you just see the results. I'm like, what is he, the fucking Terminator? He
exactly,
just walks into
yeah.
a police
like,
station and murders like four police?
And they're all
demon.
Nuts. Spread out, too. It's yeah. like.
But he leaves the dog, like, the dog doesn't attack me. I speak well with the animals. Like, it makes no sense.
It doesn't
at all.
Really look like there was, like, a tussle or anything. Like, he just kind of, like, stealthily slits throats and then
yeah.
unlocks jail cells.
So, as C. Thomas Howell finds this out, Jim goes and sees the cops are rolling up to the police station, oddly enough, with the sirens blaring. He takes one of the guns from the police officers and then runs out wildly into the desert. As shit's about to pop off.
Oh yeah, I wrote my notes. Oh no, that's a little bit later. But yeah, he killed the whole station. But there's like, are there only like 20 cops in all of Texas?
Yeah, there.
I kind of spoke too soon because like later on, there's like a whole old manhunt for
yeah,
him.
Yeah, yeah, we'll get into that.
Yeah.
So he runs off, and then eventually he walks through the desert till he meets up with the road again, and across there is a small roadside market. Now, he goes to use the payphone as a police cruiser pulls up with two cops that exit. He immediately pulls a gun on the two cops and takes them both hostage because that's the smartest thing you could do in this situation. Yeah. You're wanted for murder by murders of police officers. You pull a gun on them right away, okay? So he gets them to go back into the car, one of them handcuffed, one of them driving while he's in the back seat, and they get the police captain on the phone, on the radio.
I don't have any identification. I don't have anybody to call for you to check me out.
Are you willing to lay down your arms and surrender? I promise you I'll do everything in my power to see to it that you're treated fairly.
I gotta be honest with you, that's the best plan at this point. You just gave me a loose promise over a CB radio, I'm into it.
Click, make sure you get that really good sniper to light him up with 1,000 rounds.
Wait a minute, I heard all of that. What are you talking about? Oh, sorry, wrong channel, my bad.
I didn't mean to say that, Johnny, you got the MIDI gun. Can we just chop him into 1,000 pieces?
I'm putting my trust in you, Captain. Take us in.
Oh, no. Just as that happens, the hitcher pulls up on the side of him in the black truck and shoots not one, but both cops with a single bullet through the head. Which is pretty, I mean, can we talk about how impressive a shot and unlikely that is? That from a moving car, one-handed, driving on the other side of the road, that you just shoot both police officers through... like that. I mean, that makes the Kennedy assassination look like a fucking simple bank shot in...
The one later on, even more impressive.
You're right. We'll get to that. That's coming up soon.
It seems perfectly legit.
So, the hitcher takes out both the cops. Jim is fed up, and he puts the gun to his own chin, but he can't pull the trigger. He gets up and walks to Roy's Motel and Cafe, the next stop where I'm sure everything is going to probably turn out his way at this point. He takes a seat at the booth, and the hitcher comes up and sits down to talk to him.
How do you like Shitsville? Don't you move. You stay seated right where you are. Or I'll blow your brains through your ass.
Doesn't make sense.
The gun is empty.
Yeah?
Yeah?
Yeah.
checked it, did you?
So help me, I'll blow you in half.
All right. Squeeze the trigger.
I will.
Man. It's got to be a bad feeling.
Why are you doing this to me?
This is weird.
So Rutger then...
Smart kid.
He licks a pair of pennies and places them...
Like, what the fuck?
...on his eyes. And tells him he's a smart kid that he'll figure it out.
That was another thing that, that ties in that he's a demon, and he's actually providing him with the pennies to go over the River Styx.
Ah.
Yeah. I mean, so. I got the River Styx thing, but I was like, why the fuck is he just put... What the hell?
So,
but yeah, that makes sense if he's a demon, yeah.
The Hitcher then leaves him with a handful of bullets for the gun, and Jim gets up as a bus pulls up and goes inside of this bus because all of them are coming out to go into the diner. He loads his gun up in the bathroom, and... the bus then
very quick bus stop,
like, yeah,
very quick.
That was like a half hour, like you were there for at least 30 minutes.
A guy
five
sat down with like
diner.
Documents and like was gonna have like lunch, go over some like reports or whatever.
Didn't happen, none of that.
But he's
happened.
Back on the bus,
right?
Everybody so else,
they hop back on the bus, and now Jim is on the bus riding away. And we get to see the Hitcher also following him in the black truck as that bus pulls off now. Nash, oddly enough, is just happens to be on the same random bus ride that's going across the desert. And she spots him. He forces her into a bathroom at gunpoint, which is the way I like to get all women's attention.
Drop your guns! Don't turn around!
Oops.
Oh.
Sorry about that. Next one.
I didn't do any of it.
So he forces her into a bathroom so he could prove his innocence at gunpoint.
I'm not going to shoot anybody. I'm not a killer. This morning, this guy tried to kill me. He's been following me ever since. I don't know why. Do you believe me?
Yeah, of course sure. I do. You just got a gun pointed in my head. Yeah. I believe you.
Whatever
I fucking
say.
Believe
Whatever
you.
Say. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Do you want to have sex just in case we're in a bathroom?
You know, they say high tension moments like this, we should have forceful, regular sex that isn't forced right now.
You want to have the ground? Join the ground level club?
I can keep it. You ever part of the seven foot high club?
Yeah, woo! I've never fucked this high on the ground before. Woo! I'm always, you know, I usually fuck in my basement. That's below sea level. But this is the seven high foot high club.
No, you don't. Let's go sit down.
So they go and they leave the bathroom and
ground level.
That was a good bit.
So, thank you.
Good job.
So next, the cops come to pull over the bus. Jim says he's willing to surrender, but the cops basically want to fucking kill him. They keep telling him just like clean that spit off
you
my.
You spit on my wrist.
You spit on my wrist. Come and clean it off. I'm like, wait a minute. This is not the best way to like like as far as attempted murder goes. Yeah. Like this is like you're like just touch my wrist right now. Like that. Like,
just clean it off.
I feel like you're going to shoot me if I do that. I feel like it's a bad idea.
Even his buddy's like, dude, what are you doing, man? Come on.
You're like, why didn't you do the cufflink thing? I told you about that in the car. You say you lost a cufflink and you tell him to grab it like that. What the hell is this spit on a wrist? Nobody's going to buy that.
He's so, just full with emotion right now. His buddies are dead.
So, Jennifer Jason Leigh decides to take initiative here and save the young C. Thomas Howell's life.
I didn't do it. I didn't do any of it.
Drop your guns! Don't turn around! Just drop! I can't believe you were gonna do what you were gonna do.
Don't you know who he is?
You got the wrong man, Lyle.
Lyle?
Back here we do. Now just settle down and...
Don't come any closer.
Hand me that gun.
Damn warning shot!
Enough trouble already.
You just threw your life down the toilet.
When the truth comes down, I'll be just fine.
Boom. So,
unless somebody uses me as a trailer hitch.
Now, now, the hitcher is off watching this from a distance with delight at the new unexpected turn of events. The cops are now in hot pursuit of Nash and Jim. They try to radio the cops, but the cops are playing shoot to kill at this point. So they're doing old classic Texas lawman style. Shoot out the tires. We need to take this cuff down.
You know what's really inconvenient about this part?
What's that?
Is that C. Thomas Howell couldn't see him in the truck right over there. Like, that's the guy that's trying to kill me right over there.
He's literally in this truck right here watching us. He's 100 feet away.
What are you talking about?
Try to arrest him. No, just ignore that guy. He's in a black truck.
What are you talking about? That guy in all black who's super nice? Are you kidding me? He gave me a creamsicle an hour ago.
Baby blue eyes. He can be evil.
He gave me a yummy lady finger, which I ate.
In fact, he keeps handing me body parts that he says are yours this entire time. It has to be you. He's actually our number one deputy. We call him Deputy Helpful. Oh, that's a good Texas lawman right there.
We put him in charge of one of our police stations, and all of a sudden all our cops are dead. We're blaming you.
Yeah. That was actually his first day on the job. You murdered his entire workforce. They try to radio the cops, but now the cops are just popping off shots as they're driving the police cruiser down the road. Seems pretty bad, but this actually is a pretty cool fucking chase scene.
Oh, yeah.
C. Thomas Howell actually uses the car where he slams on the brakes at one point and gets the fucking cop A to shoot cops B with the shotgun, and it takes both of the cars out, and it's fucking epic-ass wreck.
Classic stop fake-out.
Hell yeah, dude. That was
sick.
But
before that, though, they shoot the door off of the car.
Yeah, just with the
shotgun.
I've
never seen that happen. I've never seen that in any action movie or anything.
Yeah,
where they're shooting a car and the door flies off.
It's funny that, the mechanics of how this car takes damage is, the same way that a car takes damage in Street Fighter 2. That if you just if you just punch it enough, it's like, oh, no, a whole part of it fell off just now. It takes no direction of, specific points at all.
Yeah. The Hitcher can make a really good video game. You shoot... first you shoot the mirrors off, then you shoot at the back and the fender comes off, and then each door. You shoot one each door, so.
And then the wheels come off, and then you beat it. Win!
Exactly.
And then you just E-Honda punch the rest of it,
And then the next Aerosmith song comes on.
Hell yeah.
Living on the edge!
Just off the road, though, after they crash those two police cars, all of a sudden...
Who are
the fucking
legit dead.
Yeah, the chopper then comes
the
into play.
Chopper.
Because the Texas police force has a fucking chopper on standby to follow this guy down.
Always with a guy with an M16 on the side.
And this guy, he's got an M16, he's trying to shoot C. Thomas Howell and fucking Jennifer Jason Leigh. So, as this is happening, though, they don't notice the guy who's driving through the fucking desert, leaving a trail of smoke behind him. Rutger Hauer is able, off the road 50 feet, is able to shoot this chopper with a handgun, like a 38
special.
Barely
looking up at the chopper.
Just blindly shooting like this, the two shots, it brings down the entire helicopter, which also takes out the rest of the pursuing officer. Yeah. Amazing feat. Oh, God.
Oh, look, there's Officer Helpful. Why is he shooting at us?
No, it's his first day!
And the helicopter, which looks like it might have technical all of a sudden, rotor barely spinning as it goes straight down to the ground.
The rotors just stop and then
isn't that ironic?
So, after they get away from all of the terror and the police, Jennifer Jason Leigh's character Nash goes ahead and asks Jim this.
Why didn't he kill us?
which sounds like a completely rational thing to hear at a moment like this.
Why didn't he kill us?
I don't know why I like that little sound effect so much, but it's crippled Jeremy.
I wonder, is she really from Texas, you think?
I think she seems like
she
somebody
is good
from Texas.
Girl.
I don't know.
No, I go Cali. No, she seems like
she's
Midwest.
I think she's from California, but she can do a...
She's that good of an actress.
She can do a country accent pretty good.
All right. Mm-hmm. You know, she plays white trash like no other. You know, she wasn't... Her roots couldn't have been there.
I just want to beat the shit out of her.
I just want to punch fucking her. Even when she said that, he was like, why are they trying to kill us? Boom! Punch her in the face. Been cool.
Who's the biggest actresses you'd like to really punch?
The biggest actresses I like to punch? Yeah. Okay. Are we doing a Mount Rushmore? Or?
Yeah, Mount Rushmore of actresses.
Okay, girls I'd like to punch in film. Okay. I mean, I want to pick strong women more than anything, because like, I feel a... I don't know.
One of mine is very weak woman, so...
I go Reese Witherspoon as number one.
Oh, good one.
That's a Reese Witherspoon. Because she's... You understand, she's not a nice person, but she plays a really nice person all the time. Like, have you ever heard her drunk DUI video?
She would
like, God, when she gets pulled over, she's like, do you know the fuck I am? Do you know the fuck I am? I'm Reese fucking Witherspoon, okay? Do you think I'm going to get DUI right now? That's fucking ridiculous. So, like, her entitlement and stuff like that... Reese Witherspoon makes it.
My other favorite actress.
Who's that?
Reese without her spoon.
No! Hot puns, chicken and sea.
Sorry, keep going.
Is there any other? I mean, I'm very against punching women in general, so it's really hard for me.
It's a fantasy punching. You know, punching women is obviously wrong. So, okay, did you want to be left out of this conversation to save your career?
Not much of a career to save, but
hey,
yeah.
Well, we'll edit it just so it sounds like Daniel saying all this. It's not a big deal.
Awesome, great, cool.
I'm gonna eat nuts now. Okay, so. They make their way on foot after all of this to their next stop of terror, the good old truck stop, and they get a room for the night, and sparks begin to flare up between the two of them. He tells her specifically not to call her fucking dad because they're in the hiding right now. Don't call your family, okay? Just stay chill. Don't do anything fucking crazy.
And of course, when she calls him, he is a Terminator.
Yes, yes.
So
he gets up in the middle of the night. Jim gets up in the middle of the night. He goes to take a shower and get showered up. She picks up the phone, calls her dad, and she hangs up the phone, though, and while he's taking a shower, the hitcher reveals himself to be in the room. He then very creepily lays next to her and starts caressing her in the bed, which is just, God, it's
like,
such
ooh.
A cringy part of the film. Oh, God. Jim hears the TV click on in the other room, and he calls for Nash, knowing that something is up. He rips the towel rack off the wall to go find her outside, and she's nowhere to be found. She's gone from the bed. He's searching around all over the truck stop for her. The place is crawling with cops, but he can't find her when the police finally pick him up.
All right. Don't hurt him, man. You take it easy now. Are you Jim Halsey?
Who are you?
I'm Captain Estrogen. Spoke on the radio.
Where is
Captain Estrogen? What?
You come on along with us now. We're going to need your help.
Yeah, I'm halfway changed. What is it? And, So he's picked up
I'm
by
Captain
the cops.
Captain Transition.
And they bring him over to this macabre trap that the hitcher has set up here. Nash is tied between the trailer of the truck and the cab of the 18-wheeler.
We've offered him donuts and free Blockbuster videos, and he's not listening to us.
So Nash is basically tied up and about to be fucking halved by
hitched to
the fucking trailer right now. when what can only be described as probably the worst possible way you can fucking die right now, right?
Not really.
You just lose your arms.
Yeah.
Or legs.
Oh, shit. Well, I mean, the
or
worst is that it pulls your arms off and then that drags you the rest of the way down the fucking road. Like, that's equally as bad.
Or it rips, like, halfway. Midsection, like, so all your guts spill out.
So
that's the worst way.
Yeah.
If well, I have an audio clip. Let's just do this.
Fucking do something!
We can't.
Hold it! Do something!
If we shoot him, his foot is gonna come off that clutch, and that truck is gonna roll. Now you get in there. And you see what
Why
you can
don't
do.
You try some chocks in front of the wheels?
I like that. This
you're
random
like a
guy,
genius.
They're like, now listen. I realize this is a high-tension situation. You are possibly a fugitive from the law. Can you talk this maniac off the ledge for us real quick?
Like, they could
Texas
be in
law. Woo! If we can't solve it with shotguns, we ain't gonna talk nobody down.
There's no way if we fire enough guns into this engine, it won't stop running.
I also think, why not just run a fucking police car immediately into the front of that thing so it scrunches it this way and then open fire? I mean, there's a million different ways you could take this.
But also, like, he doesn't know that they could also be in league with each other.
Yeah. Yeah, like are the cops like the audience, in on it? Yeah, that would have been really a cool twist. Yeah, I like it. I mean, that was in the back of my head, I was thinking. Yeah, how are you going to stop a tractor trailer right now? Other
I
than
think
going
if we send you in, you can help them.
So he enters the truck to talk to the hitcher, and the hitcher puts a gun on the seat.
The gun is loaded. Go for it. Go ahead, pick it up.
Let you hold the gun on me before I do anything.
They'll catch you.
Yeah. Sure. So what?
Pick up the gun.
Put it in my face. Right there. You know what to do. Now do it. Squeeze the trigger.
She'll die.
God. You useless waste.
As he rips.
So she's okay.
Does it fade out? Or do you see it? You don't see it, do you?
No, you don't actually
see
her.
Make sure
you just
kind
of see her hands get all fucking bloody as then you hear the sound of the roar of the truck as he just pulls forward like... Ugh.
You have that good bookmark at the end where they finally reunite and she has no arms.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I'm holding you here with my no arms.
And it ends with the music, if you're happy and you know it, clap your hand.
Now, have you guys seen the remake?
Lonely arms.
Have you seen what?
Have you guys seen the remake?
No, I haven't seen it. How
is it?
Because
I feel like, I don't know.
Is it strong?
I've never
is
seen the remake,
good?
But I feel like the hitching scene, it's more graphic.
Yeah, I feel like they're going to show you a little bit more, right? Yeah. Well, I feel like this movie is very much like the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, which also is not, oddly, a not very gory movie at all either. Mm. You just kind of, it's good filmmaking that kind of makes you think the worst thing is happening.
You don't see anybody actually chainsawed in Scarface. You just see a little bit of blood coming off his forehead. So. Hey, what do we do to the legs? Hey!
So he... basically, Nash gets pulled apart. The cops try to console the melancholy Jim, but he's not doing so good.
We don't know.
So they don't know who the mystery man is.
No prison record. Do you recognize
the cop?
The guy who's interrogating him? Yeah, it's Quark, right?
Yes.
Quark from Space
DS9.
Nine.
Yes.
Yeah, he plays a Ferengi. And
that's like the flurry things in
the
back of his head.
Yeah, big satellite dish ears like this. And like
Space Juice.
The rules of acquisition, Space Juice. He's interrogating Rutger Hauer in the other room. And I have a little bit of audio from it.
Ran his prints through the computers.
Basically, they don't know.
This shit reminded me of Dark Knight.
A little bit,
That's impossible!
Why did you kill this woman?
So he mentions that they don't even know his name, and that he knows his name is John Ryder. So they reluctantly let Jim in to see if he can question him to get some more out of him. And I really fucking
police
love...
police procedure.
Yeah, standard Texas operating procedures. He walks in and just shakes his hand and then spits in his face. And I don't know why, but I love this Rutger Hauer scene where he grabs the spit off his face and just starts to smell it. Like, and like rub it into his own face like, yeah. Yes, that's what I like.
You know, that's the worst thing about spitting at a Nazi's face is that it won't need to upset them. They'll just kind of play with your spit and kind of smile.
That's what I've been working my whole life for that.
Oh gosh!
The cops thinking that he can get him to talk doesn't really work, and obviously that backfires. So the cops load the hitcher into the back of the jail bus and take him away. And Captain takes Jim off in his.
Why is he in his trench coat again?
Yeah, they just they're not going to untrench coat him at all. Yeah,
they put him back in his trench coat. No, they took him out of it for the interrogation. Put him back in it to transport.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't like...
It's very odd.
I like him. He looks more badass. He looks like the Undertaker when we take him places.
Good thing he's not wearing orange.
Yeah. We wouldn't want him to look like a... He's innocent until proven guilty, okay? So the cops load him in the back of the jail bus, and then Jim starts to ride down the street with the police captain in the Ford Bronco.
Do you recognize the captain?
Yes, the captain is who, Jeremy?
He's been a bunch of stuff.
I forget his name. I know he was Citizen X, but he was also the one of the lead characters in the first seasons of Walking Dead. Who drove the RV?
Yeah, yeah, the old guy.
Oh, holy shit! Man. Yeah, you're right.
Good stuff.
Before he got gray.
So. Yeah. As they're driving down the road, Jim just doesn't think it's a good idea that this guy is getting away. Captain assures him it's pretty much out of his hands and we got him captured. But Jim goes and grabs the gun off of the captain and holds him at gunpoint. He stops the car at the side of the road and orders the cop out of the car. And the cop warns him, "You're going to get yourself killed." And then Jim takes the vehicle and goes off after the bus. Meanwhile, the hitcher's pretty much figured out and eyed up the situation. He gets a hold of the shotgun, has already taken out the entire bus of people. So Jim's correct in his assumption that this guy's a fucking maniac and is going to get loose.
Yeah.
And what is probably the most badass part of this movie is he rolls up, Jim rolls up in the Bronco and gets right behind the bus, and fucking the hitcher kicks open the back door and just goes full Macho Man Randy Savage, just jumps through the fucking windshield like this. God, it's so badass. Jim slams on the brakes and just sends him right out the same window he just came through and just fucking tumbles him way forward, like 50 feet in.
The bus, like, careens off the side. No guardrails on this, desert landscape.
Not in the desert.
It goes down. This is down the side
giant
of a sand
cliff
dune.
Next to the road.
Yeah.
So Jim slams on the brakes. The hitcher gets back up, and he grabs his shotgun and starts popping off shots as Jim is struggling to start the car again. And the hitcher just keeps getting closer and closer, popping off shot after shot, until Jim is finally able to get the car started. It's struggling, and finally it goes. He pops it in a drive.
Come on!
Again, reminds me of Dark Knight.
A little bit. And then runs down the hitcher.
Dummy ownage.
Sending him 50 feet into the desert terrain off of the road.
Where's the trigger? Where's the trigger?
So he goes over, Jim goes over to go check him out, and he picks up the shotgun on the way. He kind of pokes him a couple times, doesn't seem to be moving, turns away, and as he's walking away, the hitcher stands back up and throws his chains at him.
You'll have to take me in, cop!
And Jim turns around, does the only thing that's necessary at this point.
With the shotgun that fired 15 shots.
Yes. You realize he already took out an entire bus of police officers with that same shotgun, shot another 6 or 7 at Jim in the car, and then there was just another 3 shots in
there
for
him to waste. Perfectly legit if the shotgun was 5 feet more.
Yeah. And that brings us to an end.
And he pulls out a cigarette, smokes it.
Yeah, yeah.
Leaning up against the car, and the credits roll.
And then
as
just
he walks
playing.
Away, and he gets up again, and has to fire 3 more shots into him. And this happens for 10 more minutes in the film. So finally, he just picks up the machete and starts going Corey Feldman on his ass.
Oh, yeah.
Die! Die! Die!
And that brings us to an end of the movie as he just hops into the Bronco and then...
So, Dan, have you ever seen the movie Kentucky Fried Movie?
I've heard about it. I know it's pretty bizarre and wild.
They redo Enter the Dragon with Bruce Lee, and it's called A Fistful of Yen. There's literally a scene where they have the kung fu fight to the death, and for some reason... The guy picks up a giant transmission of a car and throws it down on his opponent. And then the guy gets up one more time, and the close-up on Bruce Lee's face is like, what the fuck? I'm like, no, you weren't supposed to get up from that. Well,
although I do like the... after that, he walks over the Bronco and just hops in, and then...
I'm Thomas C. Howell! I'm Howell C. Thomas!
I gave up my mind!
Jennifer Jason Leigh is over the top of the Bronco without her arms.
Yeah, just rolling around armless.
And it's
that's a
happiest ending of any movie. So.
That's a good bit right there.
Woo!
Oh, man.
Bitch, I'm trying to drive. Let me drive, damn it. You're all fucking over me.
So, Mr. Crab, man, thanks for joining us on the Quality Time Podcast, dude. Yeah. And a short notice, stepping it up and getting in here, man.
Thanks for letting us push the edges of misogyny and racism.
Yeah.
That's what we like to do. We just like to walk it. We like to walk the line.
Before the lawsuit.
Dan, where can people find you at? Where's the best way to look you up? What's your social media?
I'm on Twitter, at Dan O'Crab,
mm-hmm.
and Instagram, Dan Crab, and on Facebook. So,
did you say your Twitter is Dan O'Crab?
Yeah.
Dan
it's
O'Crab.
It's almost my email address, but
hi, my name is Dan O'Crab.
There was another O'Crab. Dan Crab who had already taken it, right?
No, I was going to make my email address, but I was like, hey, that's not a bad idea, so I... slightly changed it.
My email hasn't changed for 20 years, and I really wanted to be Boba Fett, but apparently somebody already took the name. I don't know why.
I think 3,000 people in front of you probably took
more
it.
More like a million now.
Yeah
there's probably... So, I think there's even... That sounds accurate.
So it's been the Boba Dork, and I'm the only Boba Dork, thank God. And the funny thing is, I'll tell people my email, and they're like, the Bob A. Dork? Like, no, it's the Boba Dork.
It's
the
Boba Dork, loser!
Well, see,
Jerry always just goes, shut up, it's Boba Dork!
See, I should have made it Dan O'Crabbo, which is my email address.
I should just be like a good Boba Fett cosplay, but it's Boba Fett, obviously, is fat and out of shape, so giant, you know, Boba Bounty Hunter belly, so...
So
his jetpack won't get him off the ground. Are you kidding me? So,
now that you've finally been on Quality Time as a longtime listener, how was it? How would you experience? What would you give us a rating?
It was a lot of fun, man.
5 stars, right?
You should give it a 5-star because I stayed awake.
Staying awake. Yeah.
Yeah, you kept Jeremy on his toes, by the way. There was no sleep out of you. I didn't have to throw anything at Jeremy.
That's good.
I think it had to do with the movie that we picked, though, because this is a movie Jeremy was into.
I might say that Rutger Hauer is probably at least one of my top 10 actors of all time to lose him in the last week or so.
Now, had you seen this movie before we asked you to do it? But this is the first time you ever watched it with any intent. Yeah. How did you feel?
It was really good.
Overall,
I mean, there was like little things here and there where it was just kind of like...
It's a little ridiculous.
You suspend your disbelief.
Have you ever seen Flesh and Blood?
No. What's that?
That's a Paul Verhoeven film who did RoboCop and Total Recall. And yes, there is a sex scene with the actress that plays Bart Simpson. So.
You're
the Smith. Yes. Okay.
Well, that brings us to another exciting episode. You can catch Daniel Crab online. Go look him up. He's fucking awesome. He's got some shows coming up, so fucking do that.
Doing comedy around A lot of open mics.
Hell yeah. Come
book
out
me
to
on
the
your shows, please, if you're, anybody's listening.
He's coming. He's going to be on our show soon. So, yeah, come check him out. All things Eric Comedy, ericcomedy.com. The Second Saturday Shit Show is free every second Saturday of the month. That's at the Auto Bar, hosted by Kimberly Callahan and Michael Quinlan, my brother and my buddy. I do the murder mysteries with Die Laughing Productions. You go to dielaughingproductions.com to check that out. Leave us a 5-star rating on the iTunes, the Stitcher, whatever platform you listen to us on. Thank you. And Jeremy, take us out.
GoFundMe.com/babyeater.